It's 16 minutes to nine on Breakfast, and we're going to keep talking films. In 1993, three young boys were brutally murdered in the small town of West Memphis in the US. Three local teenagers, Damien Eccles, Jason Baldwin, and Jesse Miskelly, were arrested, tried for the crime, and then served 18 years in jail. Documentary maker Joe Berlinger has been following this case for almost two decades. His Academy Award-nominated documentary, Paradise Lost 3, Purgatory, is the latest instalment in his account of this story. It chronicles the fight to prove the innocence of these three young men. Last August, the three were released from prison, but only after agreeing to a plea deal which allowed them to maintain their innocence while acknowledging that the prosecutors had enough evidence to convict them. It's complicated. So they're technically free, but they're still fighting to clear their name. Joe Berlinger is currently in Australia, and he's in the Breakfast studios right now. Joe, welcome to Breakfast.
Hey, glad to be here. Thank you.
Joe, what initially struck you about this story? I mean, you got onto it almost at the beginning. Why did you?
Yeah, well, what's fascinating about this two-decade, three-film journey that we've taken is that when we first read the story, it was a few days after the arrest of the three for this vicious crime. The reports that were coming out of Arkansas were very, well, at the time we didn't realize just how one-sided they were, but it made it seem like this was an open and shut case of guilt. And so initially what attracted us was the idea of making a film about guilty teenagers. How could three teenagers do something so rotten as to sacrifice 3 8-year-olds in a devil-worshipping ritual? It just sounded like an interesting thing to explore. But as we got, when we, you know, we went down there, it was about 8 months prior to the trial. We embedded ourselves in the community. Within a few months, we became convinced of their innocence. And so it no longer was a film about guilty guys doing something terrible, but rather a rush to judgment.
And what convinced you of their innocence? Because the whole town, I gather from watching the doco, the whole town pretty much had decided these teenagers were guilty. They were sure of it.
Yeah, they were the local weirdos. You know, God forbid they listened to Metallica music, you know, heavy metal music, and they read Stephen King novels. These are the types of things that were actually introduced into trial as evidence of them being murderers. What convinced us was just sitting down and talking with the guys initially. It took us about 3 months to negotiate access. They were all locked up in county lockup awaiting a trial. And when we actually sat down to interview them, it just didn't feel right. You know, it just, the light bulb started going off. And then as we got to know the case and the evidence over time, it just became implausible. The prosecution's story of this alleged satanic ritual just didn't make any sense. There was no hard evidence linking the guys to the crime. And of course, we were naive enough to think that, you know, it would all work itself out at the trial. You know, we assumed that once the trial, you know, once the jury heard both sides, that these guys would never be convicted. But instead, we sat through these jaw-dropping trials that were just rumor, innuendo, ghost stories. It was truly a modern day witch hunt.
And they were convicted, as I saw your doco, largely on the testimony of Jesse Miskelly, who later, it's been absolutely claimed now that it was false. It was a false confession he gave that was tendered to the trial.
Yeah, well, you know, some people have a hard time wrapping their heads around the idea of how can somebody give a false confession. Well, this guy had a 72 IQ, which I don't know if you have IQ tests here, but 72 is pretty low. And he's not the smartest guy. And there is a phenomenon where people who aren't that intelligent or are feeling threatened by the police will say anything just to get out of the room so that the interrogation ends. But
his interview with you on that was very convincing. It was very distressing, actually, hearing him say, "I just don't like people asking me the same thing again and again." You could clearly see what was happening to this young man. These were kids.
Yeah.
Your first doco attracted a lot of attention, high-profile attention. People like Johnny Depp, Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam, Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
They're all alerted and alarmed by what you presented as this case of kids who looked weird, as you say, dressed in black, liked heavy metal, being damned and accused of Satan worship and murder for that.
Yeah.
And they identified with that. How important was their coming on board to you making Paradise Lost 2 and then 3 and these boys being released?
Well, I mean, I would separate the celebrities getting involved, you know, certainly had no influence on whether or not we would make a number two or a number three, but they were very important for pushing the case forward because they, you know, look, we live in a society where the media pays attention to what the celebrities pay attention to. So it brought more media attention, and more importantly, it brought money. You know, Johnny Depp, Eddie Vedder, Peter Jackson, all donated a significant amount of money to pay for the kind of investigation that should have happened at the time of the trial.
And did that investigation occur with your help, or were you just filming it? That's what was the line here?
Well, we were not there to investigate. We were not there to reinvestigate the crime. We were there to investigate the story. I mean, you know, as a documentary maker, you try not to affect the outcome. You know, there's a fine line between journalism and advocacy, and the films are very advocacy-oriented, but I didn't think it was our role to actually pay for experts and to reinvestigate the case.
I think it's, you'd probably agree, there's little doubt that your films, though, helped keep the case alive and the push for these boys' case to be keep being brought back to trial. One problem seems to be keep getting back before the same trial judge.
Absolutely crazy. Yes, I agree with that.
But in the end, it was new evidence that came to light that seemed to make all the difference. Just tell us a little about that, can you?
Yeah, well, largely with the help of Peter Jackson and some others, there was some of the best forensic experts in America were hired, and a lot of shocking results came to light. Namely, that a lot of the injuries on the boys, which were presented at the trial as a satanic ritual, knife wounds and the like, actually turned out to be post-mortem animal predation. In other words, these bodies were dumped at a site that the prosecution says was the actual murder site. Instead, it was a dump site, and animals actually caused much of these wounds. These kids were clearly killed and dumped somewhere, but it was not in a satanic ritual. And the DNA evidence, most notably, the DNA evidence points away from the West Memphis 3. Not a single piece of DNA has been found that is connected to the three people who were convicted. And in fact, it points to a stepfather of one of the victims.
Which all begs the question of, you know, how it went so wrong for so long without them getting released. After 18 years, they're released. And what's interesting in your film, I think, is the boys are so articulate about this and actually so kind of calm in a way about it.
Yeah.
But what was it like for you, just finally, following a project as harrowing, life and death, as this project?
Oh my God, you know, spending two decades on this story, I was completely haunted by it. You know, I had my first daughter during the making of the first film. She's 18, about to go to college. And I had my second daughter during the making of the second film. And every time they would take a positive step in their lives, I would measure it against these guys being locked in time, frozen, rotting in prison. And I just felt we had to keep making films until they got out of prison, which is, thank God, finally what's happened.
And will we get to see it here in Australia?
Yes, I believe it's showing on Showcase in April or May.
Okay, terrific. Joe, thank you very much.
Thanks
a lot. It is a terrific documentary. Documentary maker Joe Berlinger is in Australia to launch the new graduate diploma in documentary on offer at the Australian Film and Television and Radio School. But we're talking there about his Academy-nominated documentary. It didn't win, though many people still think it should have. It's called Paradise Lost 3, Purgatory.